We have more scriptures than I usually do this morning, and so we'll go to those in just a moment. I want to just begin by saying that everyone, I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message. I believe that everyone that I have ever admired, everyone that I have felt that their life impacted mine, everyone that I would call a great person, you know, you just know those people that you think, they're just great. These kind of lives, everyone that I have known that I have been touched by in the depths of my heart, my spirit, in that way, as I look at their life, as I think of their life, there was a sense of call. A sense of the call of God, and even those in the world that perhaps were not followers of the Lord, but who had great influence, maybe did what we would say are great things in the earth, they had a strong sense of purpose. And I'm going to delineate between those two things in just a moment. But I was thinking about the horrendous events of this week, the massacre in Texas, all of those precious children whose lives were taken. And as you watch the news and all, you see people that they jump into action. And every time something like this happens, you see people who have, whether they are believers or whether they are people in the world, but who have this sense of purpose. They have this sense of purpose. It's like they know what they were born for. You see people going up the Twin Towers when the planes crashed into them, and you see them running into the flames to save other people's lives, knowing that their own lives would most likely be lost. I try to put myself in other people's shoes like that sometimes, and sometimes I'm kind of overwhelmed at how their lives are so just how they know that this is what I'm here for, and I'm willing to die for it in that moment. We find in the kingdom of God, it's even more so. You may not understand yet what I'm talking about, but just bear with me. You've got purpose, and you've got, of course, within the church world in years past, you've got all of the purpose-driven stuff. I want to delineate and separate a little bit from that today, because we live in a time when in much of the church world, talking about purpose can be misconstrued because it's all self-centered. It's about how you can be great in three easy steps, how you can be successful and be an impactful person in five steps and all of these things. But in the kingdom of God is all about servanthood. It's all about serving the kingdom of God, serving the Lord, and we come with a humility. God does a work within us that He builds that purpose within us, and we take it to a higher level, as you will see in just a moment, because the anointing of the Lord, among other things, conveys within us and to us this sense of calling. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, a sense of calling. A sense of knowing that where you are in your life, knowing that you have been called by the Lord, that there is more even than just purpose. Many people have purpose, but it's different when the hand of the Lord, when the Spirit of the Lord touches you, and you know that it is a calling. You are called by God. Today, there are many, perhaps, maybe even who will be listening to this message. Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you feel bored. Maybe your life is in a rut. Some people are already resonating, I'm sure. Maybe you feel and know that you're uncommitted. We look around, and how many of you know people that, not in a critical way, but their lives are just low-impact lives? They don't impact anyone for anything good. I want you to think about this morning. Those of you who are joining us on the live stream, hear me this morning as I challenge you and as I also offer you something awesome and wonderful from the Lord this morning. Is your life dull? Is it routine? Is it without any meaning? Is it without any purpose? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and yet You find that your life is in a rut. You don't know why you're doing what you're doing, and you're bored. You're actually bored with life. That you're satisfied with little. And by that, I don't mean material things. Let me just ask you that question pointedly this morning. When you think of the scope of your life and what it will be, are you satisfied with little? Are you satisfied that it's not comprised of much? Or is there something in you that longs for more, that longs to be a person that is filled with purpose? And beyond that, as I'm talking about this morning, anointed, touched by the Lord, that you know that there is a call of God upon your life. I want you to turn to two scriptures that at first will seem like, what does this have to do with anything? But I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 8. Luke 5, verse 8. And I'm jumping in midstream because I don't want to read a whole passage here. Verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw it, what was it? He saw that the Lord had told him to throw his nets on the other side of the boat. In other words, he saw this great miracle when he responded to Jesus. A great miracle took place. And in verse 8 it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You may say, why would you start with this scripture when you're going to be talking about purpose and calling? And it will be very clear as we go along. Peter was an ordinary man. Peter was a man just like you and I, with failures and many things that God would have to deal with in his life. And I will build on that in just a moment. I want you to turn, because God, you know this already, God is going to do great things in and through Peter in his life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 7:17. Again, a verse in the midst of a passage that has to do with many things that we're not going to go into this morning. But in verse 17, it says, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one. I've forgotten which translation it is, but a different translation says, as the Lord has assigned each one. Think about that for a moment. It's God has called each one, assigned each one, so let him walk. Now here's the amazing thing. We'll see how this call comes in a moment. But these people that he's talking about in this passage, if you take the entire context, it's whether you were free, born free, whether you were a slave, even if you were a slave, be able to embrace and walk in the calling that God has, the place where he has assigned you. And so we who live in a place of great freedom can even go far beyond this. But what I want you to see is that even in that context, the Lord is saying, each one of you has been assigned something. Each one of you has been called to something in your life. And the joy in life is walking through that, knowing that you've been called by God, and that what would be ordinary to somebody else now becomes not an ordinary life, but a life touched by God, because everything that you say and do matters in relationship to this call. I'm not just talking about pastors. The first thing you think of when somebody says, oh, called by God, then you think of pastors. Or you think of evangelists. I'm not talking about pastors, evangelists, they're included, leaders in the church. I'm talking about fishermen, plumbers, cashiers, grandmas. And may I say that I have discovered in this season, in these years of my life, the special calling, if you will, upon grandmas. As I have watched how the Lord has gripped my wife's heart when she became a grandma, and how he has done so many things through her, totally different. It's just a totally different season in life when you become a grandmother, a grandfather. Callings evolve and callings change. Seasons change. But this is what I'm talking about. Unknown musicians, not just the ones that everyone hears their praise and worship music. Unknown musicians, even those who never sing for anybody else, but who are singing to the Lord alone and have a calling to do so. Unknown delivery drivers, caretakers, stay-at-home moms, mechanics, the list is endless. You can do all of these things as an unbeliever, and somehow many find a sense of purpose in it. But how much more when you are a child of God and your life has been touched by God and God says, I have called you. I have called you. I want this to ring in the depths of your spirit this morning. I feel an urgency with this word that everyone truly hear it with the ears of the spirit this morning, not just some other way of looking at something, but I want you to hear. I believe the Lord is saying this morning to you, do you know that you're called? Do you have a sense of calling about what you do? When we are called by God, even things that already had purpose are now elevated to a new height. There is a difference. Look again in Luke. Look at chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. So many times I've preached on this passage of scripture, and I want you to just hear the words, then I want to give you just one thought from it this morning. Luke chapter 4, 17 through 19. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Let's just pause for a second. The anointing in our life has two different factors or two different ways of expressing itself. We are anointed by the very presence of the Lord living within us. Every believer is anointed by God. So first of all, hear this morning if you've been born again. You are anointed. You are the anointed of God. But the word is also used in a verbal sense in the way that you may be anointed to do a certain thing. That means God has put his hand upon you, his spirit in you with a direction, with a calling to do a certain thing. Jesus here says in his own life, I am anointed. He has anointed me, what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We all share that same calling because that is the work of the church.
Yes.
And so we're anointed to do those things. But notice, it's not just a purpose. It's a calling because in verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It is elevated from being just a purpose to being the hand of God is on me and I can do nothing but what he has called me to do. And it's my joy, it's my passion to do what he has singled me out to do. We'll come to your uniqueness in a moment and how God has created you specifically for the thing to which he has called you. This morning there are three groups that I would like to mention. The first group is the multitudes who are walking this life and walking things out and working without any purpose. And I'm just going to tell you, if you're in that place this morning and you don't know the Lord, what I feel sorry for you. What a miserable, miserable place to be living and going through this life and have no sense of purpose, no sense of meaning, no understanding as to why was I created and why am I doing the things that I do. In those situations, life can be nothing but drudgery. You can fill your life with parties and fun and pleasure and everything that you can possibly think of, and it still all boils down to nothingness. Because it has no meaning. It has no purpose to just serve self. And people who are in that position, again, are most miserable of all people. Second group is multitudes who don't know the Lord, but they have found some sense of purpose. They find purpose in what they're doing. Perhaps they are serving people in a hospital, or they are, whatever it may be, they find, well, this is a good thing, and it helps other people. And so they have some sense of purpose, and they may even love what they're doing. And that's a good thing. But the third group are those, and it is perhaps a smaller group than the other two, those who are able to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do this, to do that, whatever it may be. I am called. I am the called of God. I've been called by God. Life isn't just boring because I know that God has put me in this place. He has a purpose in this, purpose for me in this place. And when his time is up, I will find that his purpose may shift, but I will still be called by God to do whatever he has put before me to do. It's a place of rejoicing, walking in the calling of God. And it goes much deeper than just a job. Much deeper. I'm not just talking about a career. I'm not just talking about a job. I want to make a statement, and I want, this is the heart, this is where this message began. As I was thinking about this, and I began to formulate this statement. Whatever you are actively doing, I'm speaking to each one of you listening to me right now. Whatever you are actively doing right now in your life, whatever you are actively doing, your work, your family responsibilities, and your church involvement, whatever you are doing, it should be done not just because it's what's fallen into place for you. It should be being done because you are able to say, this is God's will for me. This is my call. It's not just the pastor that's called and, oh, well, he's different. He's called by God and he does this thing. No, I'm challenging you this morning, right where you are. If you are not where you can say, I am called by God to be doing what I'm doing. I'm not saying quit your job and run out. Don't tell your wife, men, I'm not called to do this anymore. I'm out of here. No, I'm saying take the time to lay it before the Lord, because God has a hand in you being where you are. I'm not trying to stir up some desire for greener pastures. I'm not trying to put doubt in you about where you are. I'm trying to get you to see that where you are until you know that God's called you somewhere else. God has lessons for you to learn right where you are. If you love the Lord, you're in the schoolhouse of the Holy Spirit. And he has a purpose for you being there. But he wants your eyes open to see you are called. And to come to the place where it will change everything in your life when you can say, I'm here because I'm called to be here. For one thing, you won't live on a roller coaster anymore. And you won't be switching from one thing to the other anymore. You won't be running in, running out without any sense of purpose. You will stay put where God has you until God says it's time to do something else. And so we have this leading of the Lord. You're not driven. It's not purpose driven. It's spirit led. You're led by the Lord, but it gives you great, not just purpose, calling when you know that you're called by God. Do you have a sense of calling this morning? Again, a lot deeper than just purpose and a lot deeper than just a job. It goes all the way back before creation. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning with 28. You all know this passage of scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Do you love God? How many of you can say, amen, I love God. Amen. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, now we're going to step into muddy waters for a lot of people. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. Don't let predestined disturb you, especially in this passage. It's not like some people think that, well, God has predestined some people to heaven, some people to hell, and you really can't do anything about it. That's not what it's saying. He's speaking to the church here. And he says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined what? To be conformed to the image of his son. If you are loved by God and you love God, if you're called according to his purpose, then God says you are predestined to be like his son, Jesus Christ, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. So if you're a believer, you're predestined, and if you're predestined, you're also called. But when were you called? Look at this. Whom he called, these he also justified. Justified is your salvation. When you became cleared of sin, made right with God. So he called you, and then he justified you, and whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What I'm wanting you to see in this passage is that this is speaking to every single believer, not special people, not a certain category, not elite people with special jobs. This is speaking to every single believer wherever you are. Before the foundation of the world, you were called by God. You were called by God. At some point in your life, you have responded to that call by coming to Christ, finding forgiveness of sin. Justification is what he is referring to it as right here. The call comes from the heart of God. It's not like you, listen to me, it's not like, okay, I got born again, now I got to figure out what my call is. What a grave error. You were called of God in order to come to Christ. And if you have come to Christ, he has already planned that you will be conformed to the image of Christ. And that is the beginning place. That is the beginning place of this calling that I'm talking about. It's a process. It's a process. There may certainly be a time in your life that you're saying, I don't know what my, quote, call is. But you can always count on this. You were called by God before the foundation of the world. And you've responded, and therefore there is a call upon you to be conformed to the image of his son. And as you are conformed, in other words, as you submit yourself to Christ, and as you grow in the likeness of Christ, it's going to be expressed through your life by God opening doors, by God putting you in places where he wants you to be, where you can look around and you can say, I wouldn't have even been here if I didn't know the Lord. God did this. I am called to be in this place. I am called here. God arranges the circumstances of your life in his sovereignty and moves you about. You may say, I'm going to go to this place or that place, only to find out later you didn't do that. God arranged it. God put the thought in your heart. God caused that job offer to come. Or God did whatever it was behind the scenes that caused you to end up in that place. But recognize first of all, say it with me this morning. Say, I am called. I am called. In fact, Paul says, I am the called of God. I am the called of God. So this process is something that we go through and we grow into, and undergirding all of it is the fact that he already says that we are called. And that is the first thing. And the last thing that I want to do this morning in this, the last thing that I would want to do is to put this thought into your heart. That's why I'm presenting it in the way that I am, where you're saying, I need a calling. I don't know what my calling is. Pastor Mark talked about calling, and you know, people will come up to me and say, well, you talked about it. I don't know. How do I know what my calling is? And then it's this jumble of trying to figure out something that God has already begun putting within you. You may be saying things like, I don't know where I'm supposed to be, and I'm not where I'm supposed to be. But this is the one thing you know. You know that you're called if you just listen to this passage of Scripture. You know that you're called, and it is something that as you continue in, things will be clearly revealed to you as you enter into growing in the image, this all-encompassing image of His Son, as you love Him, submit to Him, grow in Him. There are some basic things that we're all called to. How many of you know you're called to serve? See, when you know you're called, that is not drudgery. Oh, they need us to do this down at the church. You know, it's funny. No matter where we have ever been, cleaning the church always becomes an issue. Now, I'm not talking about here now meeting in our home, but I'm talking about it always becomes an issue. Maggie went on a mission trip to Africa, and in this little mud hut church building, one room, the pastor, they went, and the pastor was upset and telling the people on Sunday that no one showed up to clean the church the day before. Because it has to be a calling. Serving has to be a calling. And it's not just something organized by the church or by the pastor. It's when you're able to look around you and you see a need. And you know that as a son or daughter of God, you're called to serve. Amen. Serve that person. Serve by giving to that need. Serve by helping in whatever way that you can. We're called to love. We are called to love highest above everything else except for love for God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Yes. To love. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. If you have love one for the other. We're called to minister, and ministry is serving. But even to minister the word, I'm not the only one who's to minister the word. Paul's not the only one who's to minister the word. Daryl, Maggie, different ones. Every single one is to be filled with the word of God. And to be able to give a, what does the word say? Give an answer for the reason for the hope that you have, that is within you. We're called to be a testimony. We're called that our life would line up with what we believe. And that we'd be able to witness, not just with words, but by our actions. You may say, I'm just ordinary. That's the point. Amen. That's the point. That's why I read the first verse that we read. Peter was standing there and Jesus came along and said, follow me. Peter looked at him after the miracle had happened and said, depart from me. I am a sinful man, and I would be willing to bet if I were a betting man that there are people listening to me right now that is the heart of your issue. You're afraid to just embrace Christ and go all the way with Christ because of condemnation, because you've not truly accepted the only basis upon which you were born again. You were born again upon the basis that He took all of your sins on the cross. And yet now so many will walk in feelings of guilt, walk in feelings of condemnation, and not be able to embrace what God has for them because they're just like Peter. Lord, I can't enter into this because I'm sinful. And the word says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're free. You're free to follow Christ just like Peter did. Amen. You're free to enter into the call of God upon your life. You're free as a son or a daughter of God. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, we know the story. Peter stood up and like the master who said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Holy Spirit had come and was upon Peter and in Peter. And Peter preached that day. First Spirit-filled sermon in the church. 3,000 people moved upon by the Spirit of God, baptized, saved. Peter the fisherman. Let's just be sure we understand who we're talking about. Peter the fisherman. Peter who worked the night shift. Peter, who couldn't stay awake at appropriate times, like when Jesus said, "Watch with me while I pray." Peter, the brash, rash, careless tongue, who was always spouting off something that he shouldn't have. The married man, the homeowner, don't think about these things. We read and gloss over some of these things. Married and a homeowner, and from his own mouth, "I'm a sinner, ordinary man." You can't say, "Well, I'm worse than the other people in the church," or I've got more sin. You don't understand what I've been through. Oh, these men understood what you've been through and more. Paul said, and he did not lie. Paul said, "I am the chief of all sinners." He said that so that you can't ever say it. You understand? Paul said that so that no one else can say, "I've sinned more than anybody else. God can't love me." Because Paul says, "I've already outdone you all. I'm the chief of all sinners, and he has accepted me and loved me, and I love him." Called of God. Peter, who said, "Lord, depart from me." Peter, whom the people called uneducated. Peter, who had issues with forgiveness. Peter, who was hot-tempered. When they came to arrest Jesus, he cut off the servant of the high priest, cut off the man's ear. Peter, who was dramatic. "Lord, I'll never deny you." By the end of the night, three times. He wasn't even good at sports. You remember? He and John ran to the tomb. They raced to the tomb to see that Jesus was resurrected, but John beat him. He couldn't outrun John. So what makes him so special? He is highly regarded as this early apostle. He is the one that is so important on the day of Pentecost. What makes him so special? Nothing. Ordinary man. Nothing but one thing. He knew that he was called. You need to hear this. You can't say that I'm not Peter. No, you're not, but you're called. He knew that he was called, and he knew that he was called by the Lord. And he could not escape that. Jesus said, "Follow me," and he responded. The ordinary man believed. And whenever he responded in faith, Jesus used him. The one that I just described with all of his failures is the one that walked on water for a moment. Like most of us, he walked on water for a moment and then he sank because he took his eyes off the Lord, just like us. But what a picture for us of the great call of God. Some years ago, I preached a lot about the call. I was always telling the church, "You're called. Don't you know you have a calling? You have a calling. You have a calling." And I even backed off for a while, for a season, because I thought maybe I preached it too much, because some people don't understand the cost. And when you talk about the call, the flesh nature kicks in and it's like, ooh, because people start saying, "I know what my calling is. My calling is this or that." And it's almost like there's this elite group. There are those who have a calling and it's like, oh, it makes them special and somehow to other people in the church who look and they say, "I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what my calling is. I've got to find my calling." So they would set about in their minds and with the flesh nature, they would concoct a calling. You know, you can do that. You can decide with your own mind, "I'm going to go help the poor. That's my calling." But beloved, it won't last if it's not the call of God. First, you respond to the call that says, "Be conformed to the image of my son." Amen. And then all of these other things will be expressions of it as God maneuvers the person who is able to be molded by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The person who will surrender their own will. The person who will say, "Lord, take me and use me. Where you want me to, not where I want to be." and can honestly say for a season to those other people, I don't know what specific calling I have, but I'm called by God. I'm called to be conformed to the image of His Son. So I've seen people literally devise a calling and create a ministry trying to be unique. Hear me this morning so that you won't misunderstand this. You are already unique. No one else like you. Unique and called. You know, I don't want to appeal to the flesh, but how special can that be? Created by Almighty God, called by Almighty God, Amen. Saved by Almighty Amen. God.
Yes.
His Spirit put within you,
Hallelujah.
Uniquely created
yes.
with purpose. So what are you called to do? Be conformed to His image. Simply be obedient mm-hmm. to the Lord. Conform to what the Word of God shows you is the will of the Lord, and He will reveal specific things to you as you go along. See, I found I didn't over-preach it. I didn't preach it too much. Flesh just always gets in the way as long as people will move with their flesh. But if we're willing to put down that flesh nature, deny self is what Jesus says. Count the cost. Count the cost to be my disciple. Deny self. Take up the cross. And follow me, he said. And see what has been entrusted to you. I'm just asking you this morning, I don't know any other way to say it. How can you throw that away? How can you continue in what maybe you feel is a mundane life? And not examine it in the light of God's calling. I want you, this is not a long message today. I preached some long ones a few weeks ago, so I'm making it up to you for a couple of weeks. This is the gospel. He saved you, but first He called you to respond to Him. I want you to think, as we close today, I want you to think of your calling. Think of your life today. Can you say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to cut grass, wash dishes, whatever it may be. You know, right now, there are people in hospitals all across this nation changing bedpans. Some are doing it and thinking, oh, why did I choose this? What a job. Some are doing it and they feel like they're helping humanity. They have some purpose. Some are doing it because they can say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's called me to do this lowly job that I might be the light of Christ to someone else. That I might be a person who impacts other people. I want to close with 2 Corinthians chapter 2. One of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, a favorite passage, verses 15 through 17. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Before we read the rest of this, well, no, let's just read it. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. He says, we are the fragrance of Christ to those who are being lost and to those who are being saved. Now follow me. To those who are being lost, it's the fragrance of death. It's repulsive. That's why some people don't like you. Some people don't like you because of your personality, but we'll have to have another message to help with that. Now, people don't like that fragrance of Christ if they are rebelling against God. But those who are being drawn to the Lord and are responding, beginning to respond, you find them drawn to that Spirit of Christ in you. that fragrance of Christ. To one, it's the aroma of death. To the other, it's the aroma of life. Paul was writing out of the background of a picture that took place in Rome when the Roman army would go out and they would conquer a people. They would bring them back into Rome. They would march them into the city. And the army would come in first, and then they would have their captives behind them. And along with the army would be those who were swinging those censers that carried incense. And the streets would be filled with the fragrance of this conquering army coming back into town. To the people on the streets who were Roman citizens, who were the conquerors, it was a wonderful fragrance. We're the winners. We're the conquerors. We have won. To those who were captives of Rome and most likely would be put into slavery or put to death, that aroma was a stench, because to them they knew what it meant. They had been conquered. It meant death for them. For those who smell the fragrance of Christ spiritually upon our lives, those that are in rebellion and are against Christ, it's not a good smell, and it repels them. But again, to those that God is wanting to touch today, tomorrow when you go into the workplace, there will be those that don't want to hear anything you have to say. There will be others that are drawn to you because spiritually there is, I believe it's real. It's in the spirit, but I believe it's real. There is a fragrance, the very fragrance and the light of Christ that comes from you and impacts their life one way or the other. And so he's saying, you have this fragrance. You have this call. Are you able to walk into the place, wherever it is tomorrow that you spend your day, and in your heart you say, thanks, thank you, Lord. I know this is my calling for now. This is where you have me. And I am the called of God. Let your fragrance emanate from me. Let me make a difference in someone's life today. It makes the difference between a mundane life and a life that is filled with passion for the Lord and with an excitement for living. Amen. Amen. Father, we bow our hearts before you this morning and we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've called us, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that no matter what I'm doing, I am the called of God. Thank you that you put your hand upon me. Thank you that you put your hand upon each one of these listening to the sound of my voice. And my prayer today, Lord, is that you open blind eyes, even the eyes of believers who are blind to this. Open every eye, Lord, that they would see what you were trying to show them today. And open every ear that they would hear what the Spirit is saying to their heart about how you want to call, how you want to use them and the call that you've put upon their life. Help them to surrender, to be available, to surrender to availability, to be able to say, here I am, Lord, like Samuel. Here I am, your servant's listening. Your servant hears. Lord, let this church, those who are at home today, those who are gathered here, wherever they go tomorrow, Lord, let your fragrance emanate from them and impact other people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.